Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Isaiah Poole. He's editor of the group Campaign for America's Future blog and is director of the organization's online communications. Isaiah, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Very much my pleasure.
So we invite you to talk about a very significant gathering that took place on February 8th, where Raleigh, North Carolina, witnessed the largest civil rights gathering in the South since the 1965 Selma to Montgomery March. And the march and rally by 80,000 people, the estimates are, was organized to respond to the extremist policies of North Carolina's Republican Party, which now controls the governor's seat and the state legislature. And Isaiah, your recent article, you captured a lot of the significant things that took place in Raleigh on February 8th, the article titled "A March in North Carolina for the Soul of America." I wondered if you would tell us a bit about the GOP agenda in North Carolina, which set the stage for the Moral Monday protests in consecutive months, which led to this very large gathering on February 8th.
Well, it of course starts with the takeover of the state by the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, the arch conservative wing. They won total control of the state legislature and began to immediately enact a series of very draconian laws that restricted voting rights, cut funding to public education, limited a woman's right to access to abortion services. They rejected Medicaid funding they would have received under Obamacare, which meant that hundreds of thousands of low-income citizens of the state would not get access to health care. It was very sweeping, and the result of that, the reaction to that, was a series of demonstrations that were organized by Reverend William Barber, who's the head of the North Carolina NAACP, that were done at the state capitol in Raleigh on Mondays when the legislature was in session. And these rallies began to build over time, and women's rights groups, lesbian and gay rights groups, labor, environmental organizations, all of these groups came together every Monday and marched. Reverend William Barber insisted that the march not be a partisan event, but it is but a march, a series of demonstrations based on the morality or the immorality of what the state was doing to its citizens. And the culmination of that was this event on February 8th that, as you said, according to the organizers, attracted about 80,000 people, with the hope that it would not only add momentum to what has been happening in North Carolina, sort of the push back against this extremist right-wing agenda, but that would also energize movements in Georgia, in South Carolina, and in other states around the country.
Well, thank you for that rundown, Isaiah. And one of the things that struck me was the number of people that came from, you know, more than 40 states all over the country to join the activists in North Carolina, understanding, and I understand this from what you wrote, understanding that this is a bigger fight than just within the borders of North Carolina. How did maybe you could tell us how this grand coalition came about.
Well, you know, I think what you really should do is actually think back to Wisconsin. A couple of years ago, when Scott Walker was elected governor there, and he began to similar things began to happen in Wisconsin. You had the attempt by Walker and the Republican majority there to strip public employees of their union rights, and that along with a number of other things, cuts in the state budget on vital public services and so on. And the attack on voting rights, again, you know, we see the same template over and over. Those things caused a citizen uprising. And, you know, we saw there in Wisconsin really sort of the seed of what we then saw in North Carolina, where you have this, what has been bred by Tea Party populism has been, the reaction to that has been another type of progressive populism in which people have said, wait a minute, we are not interested in having the government taken from us. We're not interested in having a few people who are beholden to the moneyed interests in this country call all the shots. We're not interested in seeing things like a man in North Carolina, you know, conservative businessman Art Pope, pump millions of dollars into state legislative races, and then after he uses money to swing these legislative races over to the Republican side, then have himself be installed as the budget director for the state. That's not what we signed up for. And so we have this reaction that says, look, we, you know, government belongs to us, the people. It doesn't belong to a handful of moneyed interests. It doesn't belong to people who represent a very extreme anti-people agenda.
One thing that stuck out in your article and in the events that I followed in North Carolina and the Moral Monday protests is that this large coalition of activists seems to have been attracted by the populist, but also the moral dimension of these protests. In other words, this seemed to focus more on moral issues rather than the narrow economic and political policy issues. And I wonder how much that played a role in attracting a growing number of people to participate.
Well, I think there's always been a, ever since there was such a thing as the quote-unquote moral majority, in which people on the right have attempted to hijack that very word moral and attach it to a set of conservative policies. There's been this pushback for many of us who say, no, we are good church-going folk, but our faith and our values say something very different about how we are to care for the least of these and how we are to live as community, not as individuals, that the charge to care for the least of these is not an individual option, but it is a requirement, it's a collective community requirement. In other words, for us to live together as people of faith and to as a requirement for living together as a nation that has a set of principles that are inspired by Christian and Jewish tradition. We say that not only should we as individuals be accountable, but the systems that we create, the governmental systems, the economic systems, the social systems that we create, are also accountable to those values.
We're speaking with Isaiah Poole, editor of the group Campaign for America's Future blog and director of the group's online communications. And we're talking about an article written by Isaiah recently, talking about the February 8th 80,000-person march that took place in Raleigh, North Carolina, protesting extremist policies in that state. The article is titled A March in North Carolina for the Soul of America. And Isaiah, I wanted to ask you this question. What are the lessons that you see in this vibrant, exciting, new civil rights and social rights, economic justice movement in North Carolina for the rest of the country?
One thing, first of all, when you Reverend Barber is right to say that this is not about a, you know, which political machine wins. This is much bigger than that. It is about what kind of America do we want for our children, and do we want an America where only a handful of people succeed, or do we want an America in which everyone succeeds and has the possibility of succeeding and has a stake and is rewarded for the work that they put into America? Right now we have millions of people who are working harder than ever, and yet they are earning less. The middle class has been decimated, even though they're putting in more hours. They're, you know, we have people who, if you can get a job, some of us are working two and three jobs just to barely make ends meet. And we have to ask ourselves, is this the America that we want, or do we want the America in which work is rewarded, people are treated with dignity, that we respect the value of each and every human being, and that the systems that we create embody those principles?
Isaiah, tell us a little bit about Reverend William Barber. What's his profile? How does he, how has he been so successful in organizing such a powerful coalition inside North Carolina and attracting people from all over the country to his movement? There have been comparisons made to the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not sure that is something that you hold to, but tell us about Reverend Barber, the head of the North Carolina NAACP.
Well, I met Reverend Barber when he came to Washington. He was honored by the Campaign for America's Future at our gala dinner in November. And he is, in when he's off the stage, he is just a very down-to-earth human being. He's fairly accessible person, but he is incredibly dynamic. He is very smart. I think the comparison to Martin Luther King, although it sounds kind of outlandish, I think actually in terms of the rhetorical gift that he has and the ability to frame social issues in religious terms, I think it's very similar. I mean, he comes out of that tradition of theology that connects the progressive social imperative to the gospel, and I think that what he has done, I think, is given us the picture of a person of faith who is very deeply connected to the plight of ordinary people and is very committed to the idea that all people are children of God, regardless of their race or their gender or their sexual orientation or the faith that they adhere to, that we all have value, and he's very committed to reflecting that in everything that he does. And I think that that's a very important key to his success.
Well, Isaiah, we're about out of time. I want to thank you for coming on talking about your experience and witnessing what happened in North Carolina on February 8th, the importance of it. And I would advise our listeners to check out the article, A March in North Carolina for the Soul of America. And Isaiah, before you leave, maybe you can leave our listeners the website for your blog there at Campaign for America's Future and any other places people can go to get information on the Moral Mondays movement in North Carolina.
Well, our website is ourfuture.org, and we have, of course, not only articles about the Moral March, but a lot of the issues that were the highlight of that march. And the URL for the I'm scrambling to find the Moral March. They actually have a Facebook page. I think if you do North Carolina Moral March on Facebook, you'll find their page for the Moral March, and you can keep track of them that way.
All right. Well, I appreciate you making time to join us tonight, Isaiah. I appreciate that, and we'll be checking out the Campaign for America's Future blog in the future. That's Our Future, OurFuture.org, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks again, Isaiah.
Thank you.
Good night. That's Isaiah Poole, editor of the group Campaign for America's Future blog.